Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. A little delay in getting started here. We've been having our share of internet gremlins. Can you relate to that? Well, we're going to switch gears from tech to nature. If you're out in the wilderness, the first responder to an emergency might very well be you, especially for those who work in the Alaska tourism or fishing industry, or for those who simply love the great outdoors. There is growing demand for this course offered through the University of Alaska Southeast Outdoor Studies Program. And here to tell us all about what you can learn from this program, Forrest Wagner, an assistant professor of outdoor studies at UAS. You have described Juno, Forrest, as an adventure community. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, thanks, Rhonda. There are just a lot of people in our community that love spending time in the backcountry, regardless of the season, regardless of the weather. And for me, that just adds to the sense that there's a sense of adventure here among the public, and that this is a very outdoor-oriented demographic living here in Southeast Alaska.
I would definitely agree with that. Boy, yesterday when the sun was out, people were already talking about getting out and about. So given that we do have a lot of people in our region that spend a lot of time outdoors, do we have an equally number of people trained to respond to wilderness emergencies?
Well, that's a good question. I think probably per capita we have more trained people ready to respond in the event of an emergency than a lot of populations, but that's not to say that continuing education or simply brushing up on one's wilderness first aid skills isn't a valuable practice or valuable use of time. I mean, the whole idea with responding to emergency is that the skills are perishable. So you have your professional organizations, the Juno Fire and Rescue Group, for example, they're practicing their first response skills all the time, and that's very fortunate for us as members of the public. But the class I wanted to highlight today, the Wilderness First Responder, it's really designed for a person or group of persons in the backcountry with the potential for front country response, whether it's from the fire department or from any version of emergency medical service, more or less non-existent. So 24 hours from a road system, you and your friends are backpacking, you're on the ice field, you're out on the islands, and someone gets hurt, what do you do? And so this Wilderness First Responder class that I wanted to promote is exactly that type of training that really lets the participant, once they complete the course, make decisions that relate to kind of the long-term best interest of a person in the field.
You know, is it trite to say that they make life and death decisions all the time?
No, not at all. I mean, it may be a little bit of the wrong tone in the sense that, I mean, 95% of the time, even with the outdoor environment being a low feedback environment or kind of a poor feedback environment, most of the time when we go outside, this community being what it is, folks are prepared and are going to be just fine. The fact is, though, that there is that randomness in nature and in natural environments that means, occasionally things do go as unplanned. And when that occurs, having a sense of what to do and how to respond is a really good backup.
So if I become a wilderness first responder by taking your class, what skills do I have? What can I tell people I'm certified to do?
Yeah, great question. So this is an 80-hour training. It's internationally recognized. It's often a key piece in an interview on a resume in relation to getting a job. But what we're really talking about is wilderness first aid skills that go above and beyond CPR and general first aid. Thinking about decision making, what needs to happen initially to keep someone alive, to get them to a stable position, and then what needs to happen over a more long-term scale to Again, to keep someone alive until advanced life support can show up, whether that's in the form of a helicopter or managing an evacuation with your resources there in the field. So it's really designed to respond to backcountry incidents in ways that are different from how paramedics or EMTs are trained in the front country. So specifically, wilderness first responders can reduce dislocations, can assuming they're working under a doctor sponsor at an actual commercial operation, can administer things like epinephrine. Those aren't normally what people with first aid training outside of the professional first responder core group do. So it's actually a pretty serious training, and I've seen it work firsthand. Really talking about is composure, situational awareness, the ability to make the right decision at the right time, and more or less recognize that staying calm and composed is the key first step.
Well, when people hear your name, the first question they say is this the professor who got attacked by a bear in Haines while teaching an outdoors class? I'm sure you get that a lot of time. Do you feel like this course was important in your being rescued in that attack and in surviving?
Oh, absolutely. Coincidentally, I've had this training for 20 years, and so we're also offering a recertification, and every 2 to 3 years, people certified at the wilderness first responder level recertify. The skills are perishable. And I've seen it work in this instance 5 years ago when I was attacked by a bear above Haines. I was teaching a mountaineering class. I was surrounded by outdoor study students who had wilderness first responder training, and partly because I was conscious and felt pretty good, we were able to organize my rescue after this very traumatic incident where I was wrestling with a brown bear and then rolled off a cliff.
Oh my goodness.
But really, because we had the trauma kit that comes along with those things you bring after your woofer class, because I was surrounded by people that had this training, because I continue to use the skills in the training in our operational risk management and outdoor studies in my own outdoor pursuits. The bear attack was manageable. I was also very fortunate. There are a lot of things that could have gone differently there where it really wouldn't have mattered if I'd had a wilderness first responder or a medical degree. I was just very lucky. But these type of situations, the randomness in nature, this is exactly where having some advanced first aid training is just a really good pre-planning tool.
Wow, boy, it really underscores that point when you've had an experience like yours. So there is a cost to this program. I understand $900. What does that get you, actually, besides 80 hours of training?
Right. That's the cost of tuition. So it covers the course and it covers a textbook, and it covers. So this is a slightly different model. This is a hybrid version. There's 30 hours of curriculum that occurs ahead of time. This is us trying to be COVID conscious, and then 5 hours during finals week, or 5 days of 8 hours a day during finals week at UAS here in Auk Bay, with in-person wilderness first responder certified instructors. So I'm not teaching the course. We've got Desert Mountain Medicine, a internationally recognized contractor, teaching the course. We're also offering a recertification, which costs $325, and is that weekend before. I think that one's the 23rd and 24th of April. So there's a lot of folks with the training. It is a perishable thing, but for the certification to stand, a person with the certification has to recertify every 2 years. And so information to register is, I emailed you a flyer, Rhonda, but
I'll post that online on our Juno Afternoon page. But real quick here, if people want to take advantage of this and get in on it, what do they have to do?
They sign up. They have to sign up by March 1st. We need 15 people for the class to go. We're getting closer, and you know, one of the instructors is a graduate, a former student of the After Studies program. So yeah, we're really excited to implement the COVID conscious hybrid format, and hoping that folks that do need to research can keep their certification strong. It's been really hard for in-person courses, especially the short course intensive format that we offer in outdoor studies and that is really common in the outdoor industry during COVID. But I'm happy to report, Rhonda, that we've had no COVID positive cases here in outdoor studies at UAS, and you know, we're running all of our regular classes. I'm currently teaching an avalanche level 1 class, and we have students at Eagle Crest today learning to ski. So things are going well, and our protocols are working thus far in relation to managing this incredible challenge and the true tragedy of COVID-19.
Boy, that is another contingency that we're showing that a little thinking and planning is necessary for that, to work around it. Well, thank you, Forrest Wagner with UAS's Outdoor Studies program. Good luck recruiting those students for us, and it'll be good to know that there are a few more people among us with that training. Thanks, Forrest.
Thanks, Rhonda. Really appreciate it.